What's on my heart today? Sam, can you give me just a little more volume here? Just a touch. Bump it up just a little. Thank you. Keeping in step with the Spirit. The reason I have the picture here of these men in step is that's the Greek word. It means in stoiko, in line, keeping in step with the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, if we live in the Spirit, if there is really a sense, since we live in the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Have you ever seen a marching band or a group of maybe JROTC cadets and they're out of step? They're learning. You know, we need to be patient. But we as Christians, just because we live by the Holy Spirit does not mean that we will be in proper step. We need to keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. A question for us. Why do you think Paul connects these thoughts? Why does he connect keeping in step with the Spirit, or we might become conceited, provoking and envying one another? Well, the reason Paul connects this is because the work of the Holy Spirit amongst believers is to promote unity, to make us one people, one, various races, various cultures, various economic backgrounds, but one people, not a beautiful mixture of people. And provocation and envy, well, they rise out of a lack of humility. When anyone thinks more highly of themselves than they ought, and they push an agenda that is not considering the good of all. Strife, contention, difficulty create. It's not a work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit promotes and always leads to unity. James chapter 4 says this: who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness has the idea of it's very restrained. It was originally used of a powerful horse that was very well trained so as not to bolt. It would only follow the guidance of its rider. So meekness on a believer keeps a believer restrained from just acting out and saying things that will hurt or wound another believer in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and soulish and demonic. Earthly means it's natural. It may be true of this world. Yes, that person may have the problem and you may can point it out. But are you doing so with faith and hope? Are you loving the person as Christ loved you? Soulish just means, yeah, it's with your soul. Yeah, you can see. Of course you see what you see. Of course you hear what you hear. But is it with the love of God working in your heart? Are you hopeful for that individual? Or are you just in your natural self saying, well, I'm going to avoid that person. And I'm going to surround my people who are like me. Remember what our Lord said? If you only love those who love you, what do you do more than the rest of the people in the world? They do that. No, you love your enemies. You bless those who curse you. You do good to those who hate you. And you even pray for those who would despitefully use you. And then you'll be like your Father in heaven. He's kind to the wicked and the ungrateful. You be like him. Not just soulish. Not just natural. Even worse, demonic. Don't let evil spirits use your tongue to hurt God's people. Don't let them use you and give you an attitude that, of course, you can justify. Well, it's true. They are this way. He does have a big mouth. Well, do you want the Lord to judge you for what you, for where, the areas you're not perfect yet? I don't think so. No, let's be careful. Just because it might be natural, just because it might be true, it's factual, it can still be soulish, earthly, and demonic, not wisdom from above. Be careful. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, I therefore, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness. Because the Bible says contention comes always by pride. So God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So our walk needs to be characterized by a lowliness, a humility, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And here's this beautiful unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. So I want to ask you, when you're having that conversation with that person on the phone, yeah, you know what so-and-so said at church today? Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? Don't you think that's terrible? Don't you think someone ought to say something to them? Is that preserving the unity of the Spirit?
No.
It's not? Is it factual? Probably. Maybe accurate. Is it under the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit? That's what we need. Endeavoring to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So keeping in step with the Spirit will promote the unity of the Spirit. That should lead us to a question. Okay, we're with you. How do we keep in step? That's what I want to know. Pastor, can you give us some practical instruction? How do you keep in step with the Holy Spirit? Here's a question for you. How do soldiers and band members keep in step? How do they do it? Let me show you a picture of how they do it. You see? Do you notice something? There's a group of people and they're all looking straight ahead. So they're not using their eyes, are they? What are they using to keep in step? They're using their ears. They're listening to the person calling out the cadence. And they're submitting their bodies, their feet, and their posture to another person's direction. So with their ears, they're keeping in step. You see? So that's first of all how you do. Okay? We keep in step by submitting to what we hear. And that's why it says, Jesus said this to every single church he spoke to in Revelation. He spoke to seven churches about various things. He praised them and commended them for the things they were doing well. And he spoke and he addressed the things that he was disappointed, displeased with in them as well. And at the end of each time, his message to them, he said this, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. You must hear what the Spirit is saying in order to be able to keep in step with the Spirit. And our steps need to be governed by whatever the Holy Spirit's cadence is. So, leads to another question. How do we hear the Spirit? I mean, you talk about hearing the Holy Spirit. How many of us know exactly what that is? That's just simple, isn't it? You know, I've had people ask me, how do you hear the Holy Spirit? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, it's internal, not external. I don't want you walking around like this. This is your natural ears. This is your natural mind. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak with this voice. This is an external voice, in voz. They say right in Spanish. This is in voz. The Holy Spirit won't speak in voz. His voice will be internal. Internal. It's an internal voice. And you know what it sounds like? It sounds like a thought. Have you ever had, the thought came to me. Or it occurred to me. Have you ever listened to yourself? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? What about those situations where it's kind of difficult to even hear yourself think? I have a picture of that for you. You know, there was so much going on, I couldn't even hear myself think. So already, you know how to listen to thought, don't you? You're listening for a thought. You're conscious of a thought. That's the realm where the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks on the realm of thought. So you're listening for the thoughts the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. And it's an internal thing. Be careful of noise pollution. Have you ever been in that situation like this young lady is in? You're trying to have a conversation with someone on the phone, but there's so much noise you have to say, wait a minute. Let me get somewhere where I can hear. Come on. You know how to, if you're not hearing the Holy Spirit's voice, is it possible you're in the wrong place? You have to get somewhere where it's a little quieter. Can you understand why David said, I have stilled and quieted my soul? You know? Because sometimes the noise is very internal. Matter of fact, sometimes it's not noise. We're just too busy to be able to listen. Otras veces estamos simplemente demasiado ocupado. ¿Sí? O más peor, preocupado. ¿Sí? Sometimes the problem is we're just too busy. There's too much going on already in our own mind and heart. And all that busyness is drowning out the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you're not hearing Him, not because He's not speaking. It's because you're preoccupied with other things. So be careful. We must be able to both hear and focus upon. Why is it as a parent, when they really need to speak to their child, look at me? Do you need the eyes for the ears to work? You wouldn't think so, but you do need to concentrate. You need to focus. And if you are not concentrating on listening to the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, you'll miss it. He's speaking, but it won't go in one ear and out the other because it doesn't work in these ears. It will go in one side of your heart and out the other. The thought will come across. I believe the thought will be there, but because you are not focusing, you'll miss it. It'll slip right by. The intentional listener, the person who's being very careful to hear. This is why Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. See that? You would think He'd say, whoever has ears to hear, he will hear. No. If you're able to hear, decide very carefully to pay attention. That's what Jesus is saying. Let him who has ears to hear Let him hear. Let him hear. So, a question. Since the Holy Spirit speaks as a thought, since it will be internal, a thought, he will guide you into truth that way. How do you know if a thought is from the Holy Spirit? How do you know? Are all of our thoughts from the Holy Spirit? Definitely not. So how do we know which ones are? What's the first thing to listen for to know it's the thought of the Holy Spirit? Is it true? Truth is the native language of the Holy Spirit. The thought will be true. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And so everything he speaks will be true. Here's what Jesus said in John. When he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will, whatever he hears, he will speak. All right? Whatever he, in other words, the Holy Spirit, whatever the Holy Spirit hears, he will speak. Let me ask you a question then. Who is the Holy Spirit hearing from? Okay, God the Father. That means that the Holy Spirit is given to us to communicate what God the Father and our Lord Jesus wants to say to us. Okay? Amen. That's why he's there, so that we can hear, you and I personally can hear what God wants to communicate with us. The Spirit doesn't speak on his own. Whatever he hears from the Father and the Son, he brings to us in his voice, in the form of that thought. You will hear internally. That's how the Spirit is speaking. And so we need to learn. I have a phrase here. Learning is discerning. Now, what do I mean by discerning? What does discern mean? Well, discern means this: to perceive or recognize the difference or distinction between two or more things. To recognize a distinction. And what is it, girls? Girls, Sochi, Kaylee, you're going to help the pastor, right? This is training. No, this is really good training. I'm used to this. I'm used to children being in church. But I'm also used to being free to help. This help. So don't be afraid for to bring your kids here. I'll help you. I'll help you. We're family here. You know, I mean, it's a learning process. Some of us are just as busy on the inside, right? Okay. To discern, to distinguish, that's what we need. We need the ability to distinguish which thoughts are the true thoughts the Holy Spirit is speaking, and which thoughts are the thoughts that are trying to get us to follow them. Because how does the enemy lead us? The enemy, don't think Hollywood. Satan guides us and draws us away by thoughts, to get you to think the wrong way, to get you to think about the wrong thing. The Holy Spirit will always guide your thoughts towards the Father, towards the Son, towards what's true, towards what's right. And the enemy's thoughts will be trying to divertirnos, right? To divert us. But what is divertir mean in Espanol? To entertain us. You know, all entertain means is to keep you caught in something, to catch your attention, the Holy Spirit wants to always guide your thoughts to the Father. Be careful of allowing the enemy to come in and with thoughts lead you away from the Father. We need to learn to discern which thoughts are from the Spirit, which thoughts are from the enemy. And here's where God's word will help us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this: "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." And you know what it's able to do? It's able to penetrate deep, even to the division of soul, which is your natural man, and spirit. Soul and spirit. Do you realize some of your thoughts are on your soul, your natural thoughts? There's a deeper part of you than your soul, your inner man, your spirit. God's word can discern that there's a deeper truth than just what you're thinking in your mind, maybe in your conscience. Because you know how, have you ever been in that situation where, how many of you have ever had an imaginary conversation with someone you're having a difficulty with? I used to have them all the time with my wife. I was Perry Mason. You should have seen how accurate I was and how I envisioned her just falling down and just, oh, you're so right. It never turned out that way, by the way. Well, what I learned was those were bait thoughts. That imaginary conversation was happening in my soul. Those are bait thoughts. Underneath that, my spirit, God's spirit was saying, don't go there. That's not the way. I have a better way. Humble yourself. And it just, there are levels of thought. And the Spirit will speak in a way that can help you discern. Oh, okay, not that thought. This is the thought I need to follow. That's the kind of help God's Word does. Because suddenly, you know, I'm waxing eloquent, telling my wife, you know, the things that I need to say to her, and God's word, suddenly here comes a truth, and I am convicted. I am just helped. Wow. It arrests me. It stops. My thought is just taken all of a sudden, and I'm kind of captivated. So, a question for us. What do we do then? What do we do when we do discern that a thought is not from the Holy Spirit? What do? You arrest it. You take the thought under arrest. Paul calls it taking every thought captive. Take that thought that's a bait thought that was trying to lead you to say something hurtful or making the situation work. Take that thought and bring it under captivity to what the Spirit is speaking to you deeper. Put that thought that you're aware of underneath the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the truth will set you free from the thought that was sent to take you captive.
Amen.
Because if you don't take the thought captive, the thought is going to take you captive. It's a matter of you must learn to discern what's the right thought. And when you recognize the wrong thought, don't resist it, arrest it, make it obedient to what the Spirit is saying. And what this will do is this will develop a capacity in and a spiritual mind will grow in the ability to distinguish right and wrong. You'll be given wisdom and discernment, not just to help you personally, but the wisdom and discernment you grow in will become a great blessing to others. Because sometimes a person doesn't realize they're in the wrong train of thought. But if you're able to discern, because you've learned to discern, not only will you not get caught up in that train of thought, you can help them recognize, ah, that's not true. This is the true. This is best for you. And that's what we need to do. And this will help. This is another help in recognizing what are the Holy Spirit's thoughts. This is a verse from the book of James, wisdom from above. Because the Holy Spirit is bringing, remember, He's listening to God the Father and the Son. So the wisdom the Spirit is bringing you is wisdom from above. Oh, we have all kind of earthly advice, don't we? Our friends and the people on the media, they have all kind of opinions, don't they? There's all kind of earthly wisdom of what we should do and what you should say and how you should be. But there is something that comes from above. Amen. How do you recognize that it's wisdom from above? Listen to this. Wisdom from above is, first of all, it's pure. And you know what is? You know what the first thing it purity from is? This is where my tone, my choice of words, and my attitude towards my wife, where I recognize, even if I was factually correct, it was impure. And I was speaking out of frustration, aggravation, irritation. And that little bit of leaven, you know what it did? It leavened the whole lump. What I tried to say, she could pick up on the attitude, and the facts didn't matter. The attitude was terrible. And she could pick up on it like that. But wisdom from above is pure. It will genuinely have the other's best interest at heart. It will be genuinely loving. A spirit-guided love towards them. Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Man, can you imagine having that kind of help in dealing with people? Can you imagine that? Can you see now why Paul said, be filled with the Spirit? Because if we were being filled with the Spirit, we would be being filled with what's pure and peaceable and considerate and full of mercy and good fruit. Wow. And what does it produce? Verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. How wonderful if we're receiving wisdom from above, that the result of our dealing with others is actually it produces peace instead of blowing up in our face. Are we tired of things blowing up in our face? Of making matters worse? We should be. Let's learn to discern wisdom that's from above. And what it will produce is it will actually lead us to a life of peace. We'll begin to enjoy peace. Because that's what the scripture says. The Spirit will guide our feet into the way of peace. We know Psalms 23, right? The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. But He maketh us, you know, to lie down in. Now how is our Lord, the good shepherd, leading us? You know how He leads us? He leads us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So now let's put the Holy Spirit and walking in the Holy Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. Let's think of it in the light of Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd and He has sent His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make me lie down in green pastures. The Holy Spirit will lead me beside still waters. He'll restore my soul. He will make me to walk in the paths of righteousness. If I keep in step with the Spirit, all of God's blessings and all of His promises, I began to experience them because the Lord blesses His own way. He watches over His own way. He protects His own way. So if we will allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into the way to live, then we'll experience the blessings that God gives for those who walk that way. That's why it's so important to learn to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. I've been saying this. Each of you, if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit of God is your personal spiritual attorney.
Amen.
To counsel you, to give you advice, to help you every situation you're in, to give you advice, to recognize what you shouldn't. That's a trap. Don't go there. This is the way for you. This is the way of peace. This is the way to experience my help. How wonderful. So, my encouragement to you today is, all right, deciding to keep in step with the Holy Spirit is something we can grow in an awareness. And remember that picture? How do we keep in step? How do we keep in step? Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Okay? Pray with me. All right?